Good to see all of you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here, and I pray, Father, please, that you will glorify your name through this message and this time together as we continue, Father, to focus on you. I pray, Father, please, that you just take this message, accomplish your work, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The title of the message today is Absorb the Light. Now, I've preached a couple messages in this last year or so about the light of Christ, that the light that we have that is Christ inside of us dispels darkness. The light's called to do that. That's what the light does. And that the light of Christ in us is to reflect the person and the character of Christ in our lives as well. But today I want to look at something different. I want us to look at the light of Christ absorbing our life, okay, in order for it to fill our life, in order for it to glorify God in greater ways. But before I talk about that, I have two things that I need to point out. One, the light being referred to is not physical, but spiritual. You know that. I know that. I'm assuming everybody in here knows the Lord as their Savior. But if you don't, when you receive Christ as your Savior, believing that Jesus died on the cross, sent by the Father, went on the cross, died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and then on the third day rose from the dead and is alive today in heaven. But that's intellectual knowledge of historical fact. We have to make it personal. We have to make sure that we look to Jesus and say, Lord, not only do I know this and believe this, but please forgive me for my sin. Come live in my heart. And we personally pray and ask God to do that and to save us and to become Lord of our life. When we do that, then the light of Christ enters our heart. And the light of Christ is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the presence of the Holy Spirit, that light who is truth, Jesus said he was the truth, that will never, ever, ever depart from us. For Jesus promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. So the light being referred to is not physical, but is instead spiritual. So you and I know what it means when we talk about the light of Christ. But I want to reemphasize it in John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You understand what Jesus is telling us there that's so important? That he's the light of the world. He that has the light, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. That's a promise. We've received Christ if we are determined to follow him, if we're determined to be learners of Christ or a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, desiring to walk with him, then we will not walk in darkness. And so there's a spiritual truth that we can actually walk in darkness whether we're saved or not. Lost people don't know what it means to walk in the light because they don't have the light. Christians have the option either to walk in the light of Christ or to walk in darkness. And we're going to look a little bit more closely at that. And so, as Christians, we receive the light, and he's in our lives, and he'll never, ever, ever leave us. So, point one, the light being referred to is not physical, but is instead spiritual. And point two, it reveals our path in life. That's what the light does. It reveals our path in life. We need to understand that it's not just a matter of receiving Christ, although that's the first and foremost important thing we can do. But it's also to recognize what the Holy Spirit is there to do. We're going to not cover all the things the Holy Spirit is there to do, what the light of Christ in our life is to do. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is that he reveals our path in life. How many people do you know that especially youth, high school, college, what am I going to do with my life? You graduate from high school and you go, wow, you know, I'm embarking on adulthood. Wow, I'm 21 now. I'm an adult and I can just pursue whatever I want. But as Christians, what should we be doing? In particular, if you're in that position as a young adult, you as a Christian should be saying, God, what do you want from me? What path do you want me to follow? What's the plan that you have for me? See, that's an intentional action to say, I want to follow you who lives in my heart and walk in the light of the path that you have already preordained for me to live. Let me give you an example. Years ago, and I'm glad they didn't say years ago because it bothers me when I do that. So years ago sound better. Say it quick and get by it. But anyways, years ago, I had an opportunity to get on the ground floor of making microchips. And I remember my pastor had introduced this job opportunity for me. And so he and I went to meet with this interviewer for this particular position, sat there, and I was listening to the interview. And you know, I didn't realize the impact of microchips, you know, at that time. And as I'm sitting there and I'm listening, just over my heart, I had this sense from God, this is not the path that I want for you. This is not the answer. This is not the direction. This is not the plan. And so as I'm sitting there, when it came down to the point, well, are you interested in being trained and stepping into this field? And I said, actually, I've decided that it's not what I need to do. My pastor looked at me and goes, they both looked at me like, are you crazy? This is a great opportunity, right? But it wasn't the plan that God had for me. Instead, at that time, I had got involved working for Holiday Inn Resorts. And as at the onset, I was in the housekeeping department because there was 500 rooms at this resort, literally, and needed a lot of help. And I became a supervisor in housekeeping. And they liked my work, and so they advanced me to, believe it or not, Steve, accounting. And they moved me to Knoxville, Tennessee, where the World Trade Center was, the World's Fair was years ago. And I learned very quickly that accounting was not my thing, even if I was being trained for it. And so I knew that wasn't the path that I was supposed to go, but when I quit that job, my mother looked at me and said, are you nuts? It's a good corporation. You've got other avenues you could pursue. This could be a career line. And I said, it's not what God has for me. God's called me into ministry. So God calls me in the ministry, and I go from Florida to California. And this is something I want us to understand in following the path, the lit path that God has before us, is that I knew God called me to California to serve as an associate pastor. But while I was here, I was so homesick and wanted to be. My family kept saying, when are you coming back? My best friend kept saying, when are you coming back? And my focus began to pivot that way. And so I said, okay, I'm going back to Florida. So go back to Florida. The whole time that I'm doing this, there's certain uneasiness in my heart. My car broke down 5 times. I should have taken that as a hint from God. And that was just from here, well, Turlock to New Mexico. So instead, I sold the car, put my possessions in boxes and sent it UPS and got on Greyhound and went home. For 10 months, I was there figuring I'm going to put my roots down. And God kept saying, no, you belong back in California. Finally resolved that, went back to California, but it was a blessing because I met my bride, my wife, and we had our family, and ministry progressed. And so the point to this is that we have to be willing as Christians to walk in the path of the light that God has us to follow. But that's a difficult thing because it's spiritual, it's not physical. It's learning to identify the directives that God gives us. And we will identify those as God reveals us to us because our heart is earnestly seeking Him and His will. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I will trust God's word, which helps to direct us. And I will follow the path that God has for us. But we have to be careful. That path can deviate into the wrong direction when we set our affections on what we want to do and not keep continuing to surrender ourselves to God and what He wants to do. And that takes determination to want to do that. And so not only does the light reveal, not only is the light spiritual, not only does it reveal the path that we should go on, but it also reveals truth. And so Ephesians 5:11-13 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all these things that are exposed are made manifest or revealed by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Whatever reveals something to us, that revelation is the light of God. That's what's being referred to here. God is revealing something to us. His light is at work. His light lights our path in the way. And so when we look to him to follow the path, we follow the path that's true, that God intends for us to follow. And God will reveal that to us. Is that exciting to you? High schoolers, college students, you're trying to figure out your life, where you're going. You got your plan, right? Maybe you don't. But God knows, and that's what you need to hold on to. You need to hold on to what God wants for you. Because we can make our plans, and we can set our directions, and we can think what's best for us. But if our heart is tender for being in the will of God, God may show us a directive that's not even something we even considered. And it'll be the best and the richest blessing in your life because you're following the Lord. God's light produces life. In 1 John 4 and 5, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It's an interesting thing here, is that life here in the Greek can have two different meanings. One, it means life, spiritual life. We're born by water and by spirit. That's what Jesus said. They were born by the natural birth process, and the women, their water breaks and babies coming. We live by the Spirit. We're born spiritually when we receive Christ. Two different births, physical and spiritual. All right? And so that's one way that God gives us life, the spiritual birth. Right? But the other meaning of the word life in this passage is manner of life. God wants us to discover the manner of life that he intends for us to live. That manner of life is a life that's surrendered toward him or to him, and a life that walks in the light or the path that he has for us. That's what God wants us to do. And so it's interesting that, again, in this verse, in him was life, that's where we found salvation, and the life was the light of men. That light is following the manner and the path that God intends for us to have. And the light shines in darkness. We live in a world of darkness, but we can have confidence that we're walking in the light when our hearts are in sync with God, because our hearts are in love with God and we desire to follow him. And the darkness did not comprehend it. Meaning that God is light, he'll always be there. God will reveal truth if we look for it. That the darkness of this world will not comprehend it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how the darkness of our heart can obscure the light of God in our lives. And so, back to the original question, how do we absorb more of the light? Do we want to absorb more of the light? Meaning, do we want to get closer to God? Do we want to hear God reveal himself to us more? Do we want to see the path more distinctive before us? Hey, that path is not completed when we decide what direction God is leading us into in life. That path is a continual effort to follow until we get to the end of the path. So we must remember that. So choose to fill your spiritual eyes with the light. Your spiritual eyes are like a sponge. I've used this term before because I like the way it sounds. Imbue. You know, let our lives be imbued with the Spirit of God. That sponge. You know those, I thought that was really cool. You remember those sponges that were like, they're compressed, all the air's out of them, and they were like sponge sheets, and you can cut them into whatever shape you want and put them in water, and they would expand them. I'm still fascinated by that, the childlike mind, you know. Or the little dinosaurs and the little capsules, and you drop them in the water and wait for them to grow. I mean, I love that stuff. But there's a picture there that you and I are to be constantly allowing the water of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the water of life. Allowing the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. In a sense, we're kind of like that sponge that never gets filled completely. Although we can run the race, finish the race faithfully, and we might put our minds to think, okay, now the sponge has been filled up all the way this side of heaven because I was faithful to God all the way through. And so we need to want to desire to have the light become more and more in our lives. But that comes at a price. It means that we want God to be in every area of our life. It means that we want God to be in every thought process of our life. It means that we want God to be in front of us and focused on each day of our lives. And we need to also place ourselves in situations where we absorb the Holy Spirit into our lives. And that's the focus. If we keep our focus right on God, our heart tender for God, and we're continually surrendering all that we are before God, then in that we will discover that more of the reality of Jesus, the power of Christ, the wonder of His will and His purpose for our life will become more and more evident in our hearts. Your spiritual eyes must be placed into situations that allow them to absorb in Christ's light. Catch that? Your spiritual eyes must be placed, that's an action, into situations, specific locations, that allow them to absorb in Christ's light. In other words, keep your eyes on Christ's light. Don't allow our eyes to go to those places that are not light, that are not in His will, that aren't what God desires for us. Don't allow ourselves to drift off like I did. I'm going to Florida. I kind of hear what you're saying, but I don't want to acknowledge it. I'm going home. But I was setting my focus on a situation that I wanted. When we're facing temptations, what happens? All of a sudden, our focus starts to become more and more intense on the temptation rather than the person of Jesus. So we have to make a cognitive decision to say, okay, I'm focusing here. All this attention's going to this that God doesn't want me to focus on. And we have to consciously say, God, redirect my thoughts to the things that are positive that draw me to You. Turn my attention to the way of escape, as He tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. We have to cognitively say, I realize that darkness is here and I'm desiring it. But I choose rather to turn and repent and say, God, don't even let me step into those gray areas because it will result in sin and disobedience. Let's look at that familiar passage in Luke 11:33-34. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. Jesus is saying it makes no logical sense to light a torch and put something over it to hide the light, or to light the little clay lamp and to cover it up with something. It makes absolutely no logical sense. We have the light of Christ in us because we put our faith in Christ and received Him as our Savior. Therefore, we don't want to be illogical and not let the light of Christ be seen. Right? And then he goes on. He says in verse 34, the lamp of the body is the eye. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Our eyes, our heart, our focus, we're not necessarily just talking about physically what we see, but spiritually what we're focused on, emotionally what we're focused on. Those things. You can be blind and still have a focus that's either right with God or not right with God. And so we need to have our eyes focused on that which is good. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, when you're focusing where you know you're supposed to focus and the will of God, the purpose of God, the things of God, the things that are acceptable to God, then what happens? Your whole body is full of light. When we make that commitment to keep our eye where it's supposed to be, keep our affections where it's supposed to be, keep our feet in the path it's supposed to be, then our whole body becomes consumed with the presence of God in our life. That's the light. Jesus is the light. Right? Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. If we choose to follow things that we know that are not in God's will or that are direct act of sin, then what we're doing is that we're enveloping our lives in darkness. We're taking more and more in to our life that God says no to. When I first graduated from high school and I was in junior college, I felt free. I'm 21. I hit the nightclubs, hit the dance floor. Frankly, had a blast. But it wasn't God's will. I think I told you before, I was doing a bump with a 70-year-old lady. Pretty ugly sight. But that tells you where it can go. Those of you who may or may not know what the bump dance was. I'm not going to show you. You're welcome. But here's the thing. God was saying, do you want to go that direction? Is that the light of seeing the drunks around you, the foolishness around you, the sexual innuendos around you, all this stuff that just kind of envelops your life, it becomes darkness. God's saying you're focusing on these things that will pull you into darkness. But God intends for us to have our body full of His light, that we might be a bright shining light, not covering ourselves up. And in the word lamp here in the Greek actually means lightning. Been in lightning storms at night before? When one strikes, it's like flash of light, lights up everything. We don't see that much in Kalinga, do we? That's why I asked, have you seen that before? Yeah. But I tell you what, that's what God expects of us. That we live lives that the light is so brilliant and shining and impacting to those around us that are in darkness. Jesus gave us three examples of how to keep light in our eye. Live by the word. Live by the word. How many of you read your Bible? Statistically, so many Christians do not even pick up their Bible. How much time do you take to just read a passage? Do you do it every day? Do you read God's word? Do you listen to it audibly? Maybe on a radio thing, channel. We've got to be in the word. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." If we're going to live in the light, live for Christ, follow him, be his people, and have the relationship that God wants us to have and the life that he wants us to have, then we must not avoid being in the word. We need to be in the word. The second thing that we need to understand that Jesus sets an example for us is don't provoke or test God. You know you're going the wrong way. And you know you aren't supposed to. If I was in that nightclub and I said, you know, Lord, I'm having fun. Give me some space. And I want to go on for a while here. I would be under the hand of discipline of my Heavenly Father. Not a good place to be. Don't provoke or test God. Matthew 4:7 says, Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, these were things that in the flesh that he would, you know, power, authority, fulfillment, so many different things. But he knew it wasn't the Father's will, and so he rebuked Satan and said, you know, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is written, the word. Therefore, be in the word so we know what to do. Worship and serve God. Matthew 4:10 says, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. Really direct. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus was tempted in every way possible that had the principles of sinful nature. And he rejected it. He knew the effects of sin. He knew it wasn't the Father's will or his way. And he yielded to it. And so, The Apostle Paul tells us how to guard our eye from darkness. In Philippians 4:8, finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, that's value, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. When we're facing temptation, we need to shift and say, is this true? Is this lovely? Is this praiseworthy? Is this acceptable to God? Whether it be a temptation to step into a sinful act, or whether it be a temptation to follow a certain direction that's not in the will of God, whatever it might be. We need to consciously change our focus to that which is acceptable to God. And that's not always easy, and frankly, we won't always do that, will we? But that should be our objective. It shouldn't be something that we just write off and say, well, it's not important, because it is important if we want to follow Jesus and walk in the light. We must absorb the light through thinking on what is good by God's standards in our life and in our world. So pay attention to what you're watching, listening to, and reading. What do we take in? What do we listen to? Are you a horror film fanatic? Some really fall into that stuff. It's wrong stuff to pull into your head. Are you, whatever we're focusing on that's not pleasing to God, don't do. And we live in a world around us. It's not the point of saying don't see, because we can identify and see the things that are against God in the world. But don't focus. Don't fix your heart and your eyes on these things, because you take it in. You take it in. When we combine this with absorbing in His Word, our spiritual eyes become full and the light of Jesus. When we combine this with absorbing in His Word, our spiritual eyes become full of the light of Jesus. We are absorbing more of the light. I think one of the key things for this message is walk in the light. Obviously, that's the context of the message. But fill your lives, fill our lives with the light by consciously keeping our focus where it should be. And when we make that effort, we're doing it because we love the Lord. We're doing it because we desire Him. We're doing it because we desire our life to be in His plan and His purpose. And we're doing it so that our lives will be glorifying to Him. So walk in the light. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I just thank You so much for each one here. Help us truly to absorb more of Your light into our lives. It takes discipline. It takes recognition. It takes surrender. It takes utter dependence upon You and Your power and Your might, Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace, and, of course, Your faithfulness to us. So, Father, help us as Your children to love You, the light. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.